Romans chapter 8. Romans is after Acts, if you have the right Bible. And I do. Romans chapter 8. Some familiar verses tonight, and then a little bit of a different thought. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? Or pardon me, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who shall be against us? I want to focus on that first part of verse 29. For whom He did foreknow. I want to just focus on that for a little while. One of the attributes or characteristics of God is omniscience, which means He knows everything. He's all-knowing. Tonight, though, I had a thought today. I try not to do that because it hurts to think. But I had a thought today that I couldn't get away from. And my thought was, is there anything that God does not know? And of course, the obvious answer to that is no, Pastor. There's nothing that God does not know. If there were anything that God did not know, then He would not be God. Because God, by His very nature, is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. And He's omniscient. He is all-knowing. But I want to... Does anybody have any rotten tomatoes? Because you're fixing to throw them at me tonight. But... I want tonight to talk about this. Some things that God does not know. I wrote down some things in no particular order, just as they came to me. And what I did, I'm not going to really say a whole lot about these things. I'm going to let the Scriptures speak to these points. I didn't write down the thoughts and then try to find a verse to go with it to prove my point. I began to search my Bible. And from those verses that God directed me to, I made some points. So here's the first one. Some things that God does not know. Number one, God does not know a sinner that He does not love. God does not know a sinner that He does not love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God commendeth, or He proved, or He demonstrated, God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I said I wasn't going to say much about these. I can't help it. There is nobody Not one man, not one woman, not one boy or girl on the face of the earth that has or ever will live, or is alive right now, who can say that God does not love me. I've had people in my interactions, and perhaps you have too, who have said to me, "Preacher, I wonder if God loves me." I've had people say, "How could God love me? I'm such a wicked person. I have no regard for the things of God. How could He love me?" I've had people say, "Why would He love me? Why does God love me?" And I must confess that there's been a time or two in my Christian experience when I've gone to the Lord and I said, "Lord, I don't know why You love me. Sometimes I'm so unloving. And I'm so unlovable. But God said, I do love you. Not because of who you are or what you've done or what you haven't done, but because of who I am." The prophet wrote this: we love Him because He first loved us. God loved us when we were unlovable. God loves us when we're unloving. God loved us so much that He sent the Lord Jesus to die in our place. Let me tell you, church, I love you. I love you with all that's within me. I thank God for you, but I wouldn't give one of my children to die in your place. Wouldn't give one of my grandchildren to die in your place. I would sooner die in your place than to give one of them, to give anyone that I care about, to die for you. But God gave His only begotten Son because He loves us. He doesn't know a sinner that He does not love. Secondly, God does not know a sin that He does not hate. God does not know of a sin that He does not hate. He hated Adam's sin so much that He had to kick him out of the garden. Before He kicked him out, though, He gave him a Plymouth. He drove him out in a fury. Anybody know what a Plymouth Fury is? Anyway, I get back to preaching. And one day, Adam was walking past the garden with Seth. And he said, "Son, that's the Garden of Eden. That's where we used to live. Until your mother ate us out of house and home." Okay, I'm done. For now, on this point anyway. He hated Adam and Eve's sin. He hated David's sin. David was a man after his own heart, but he hated his sin. He hates your sin and mine. But again, going back to the first point, He loves us. He loves us, but He hates our sin. He hates it so much that at that moment on the cross, when Jesus Christ became sin, when He took our sin upon Himself on the cross, God the Father turned His back on His Son. He turned His back. It caused the lovely Lord Jesus to say, "My God, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" God hates our sin so much that he said about the good things that we do, our righteousnesses? He said our righteousnesses, the good things we do, are as filthy rags. There's nothing that we can do that makes us worthy of salvation. Nothing that we can do that makes us worthy of God loving us. But he does. He hates our sin, but he loves us. God hates sin. God cannot allow sin into his presence. That's why he loved us and gave his son to die, his only begotten son, to die in our place, so that we can go into heaven. We can enter into heaven. Number three. And these kind of all go together. Number one, God doesn't know of any sinner that he does not love. He doesn't know of any sin that he does not hate. Number three, God does not know of any way of salvation except the way of the cross. He doesn't know of any way of salvation except the way of the cross. I take that back. There is another way. There is another way for us to be saved. And again, hold on to your tomatoes till I explain it. There is another way to be saved. And that is what Jesus said, our righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. If we could go through our whole life, from the time we're born until the time we die, and never commit one sin, then we wouldn't need a Savior and we could go to heaven without trusting Jesus Christ. If we could go from birth to death, not one time committing a sin, we could get into heaven in our own righteousness. But if you say you've done that, then you've broken your record because you lied, amen? Job said this, man is a few days on the earth and full of trouble. You that have had children and grandchildren know that before long there's that cry. It's not because of hunger, it's not because of pain, it's not because of being hurt, it's just to get attention. That lying cry that gets you to come running. And then when you get in there, now, there's nobody from the days of Adam, from the day of Adam in the garden until today, that's ever walked the face of the earth with the exception of the Lord Jesus, that has not sinned. So, because of that, God does not know of any way of salvation except the way of the cross. It had to be the right person, Jesus Christ, who was sinless. Only a sinless man could die for the sins of the whole world. It had to be the right death. The just for the unjust. He was the sin bearer. He was the Lamb of God. And the Word of God says in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No preacher can save you. No cleric can save you. No Bible scholar can save you. No prophet, no apostle. Nobody. Except for the Lord Jesus. His is the only name that we can call upon for salvation. He said, not I am a way. He didn't say I am one way. He didn't even say I am the best way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Then number four. He doesn't know of any sinner that he doesn't love. He doesn't know of any sin that he doesn't hate. He doesn't know of any way of salvation except the way of the cross. Number four, he doesn't know of any better time to be saved than today. Isaiah 1 verse 18, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I preached on this a week or two ago, 2 Corinthians 6:2. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. God doesn't know of any better day, any better time to be saved than right here and right now. We're not promised tomorrow. He said in James, what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. The fact is, we're not promised our next breath. In witnessing to people, I'm sure you've had this experience as well. They say, well, you know, I've still got some things to do. I've still got some living I need to do. I've still got some things I want to accomplish that would not be considered spiritual. Once I've done all that, then I'll get saved. When I'm laying on my deathbed, then I'll get saved. Okay? When's that going to be? When are you going to die? Let me mark it down on my calendar so I can make sure that I'm with you and remind you of this promise you've made. Let me know the day. Let me know the hour. Let me know the minute, the second you're going to die. Well, I don't know. That's absolutely right. We don't know. It could be in the next moment. It could be before you draw your next breath, before you take your next step. Turn to Christ while there's still time. May God help us to get the urgency of salvation out to a lost and dying world. I've got a bunch of these. I don't know if I'll get through all of them or not. I just kept writing. He doesn't know of any sinner that he doesn't love. He doesn't know of any sin that he doesn't hate. Doesn't know of any way of salvation except the way of the cross. Number four, he doesn't know a better time to be saved than today. Number five, he doesn't know that a church, he doesn't know of a church that he will not bless if it's one of his. He doesn't know of a church that he won't bless. Joel chapter 3, verse 2. I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. 1 Peter 5:3, now as being, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. John 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. Ephesians 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. God does not know of a church that he won't bless if it's one of his churches. Now, there are a lot of buildings scattered around who have the name church over the door, but they're not a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anton LaVey in the late 1960s, early 1970s, started a church called the Church of Satan, a recognized religion. If you go into the military and they ask you for your religious affiliation, there is a space for the Church of Satan. There is a place for Wiccan and witchcraft. There is a place for many major cults. I'm not talking about those. I'm not talking about those who call themselves church. Talking about those who are true churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, that are true to the fundamentals of the faith. I'm not even saying Baptist churches. Now, if I thought something was better than being a Baptist, I'd be something else. But listen, we're not the only ones that preach the gospel. The first church I pastored was a Baptist church, but didn't have Baptist in the name. It was Luther Bible Chapel. So a lot of people thought it was a Lutheran church, a lot of people, but just the name of the area that it was in. But it was Baptist, Independent Baptist. But there are many that call themselves Methodist, many that call themselves Presbyterian, or some other denominational tagline who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and the members do, and they seek to follow Him, and they seek to follow the Word of God, and all those things. So I'm not talking about just Baptist churches. I'm talking about churches that follow the Scriptures, follow the Word of God, follow the God of the Word. You cannot do that and not have the blessings of God on your church. Now, there are some who, as the book of Revelation states, have various conditions. They've left their first love. They allow false doctrine to come in. They get their eyes off of where they need to be. All of those things. But a church that is truly following the Lord, doing their best, will have the blessings of God. God didn't know of any church that wants to follow Him that He won't bless. Number six. God does not know of a life that He cannot change. He does not know of a life that He cannot change. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If any man be in Christ. We preached on that a couple weeks ago. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The fields are white unto harvest. And God is in the soul-saving, life-changing business. Listen. I talk to people who say, well, as soon as I, you know, stop smoking and stop drinking and stop chewing and stop running around with those who do, then I'll get saved. No, no, no. If you get saved, Christ will make the change. We don't have to turn over a new leaf. We don't have to stop our sin before we're acceptable to God. The fact is, none of us is worthy of salvation. And if we get something taken care of, there's something else we'll find that we have to work on. But God can change our life. He doesn't know of a life that He cannot change. There's a song that says, we need to go fishing for souls. If we catch them, God will clean them. There are some people who, when they get saved, immediately they get the victory over those sinful habits. Immediately, God takes away their desire to drink and smoke and run around and all those things. Some people, it may take a little longer. But as the songwriter said, He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took Him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient He must be, because He's still working on me. And He will be working on us till He gets to heaven. Till we get to heaven. But there is, or there ought to, I should say, there ought to be that process of sanctification. Drawing closer to Him. I pray every day in our family devotions. I pray every day in my personal quiet time. God, help me to be more like You every day. Help me to know You better and to love You more. God does not know of a life that He cannot change. Number seven, God does not know of an obstacle that He cannot overcome. He does not know of an obstacle that He cannot overcome. John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. 1 John 2:13-14, I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known Him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known Him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the Word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. God does not know of an obstacle that He cannot overcome. No matter what it is, God can help us. If we'll trust Him, if we'll depend on Him, if we'll rely on Him, His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can't carry on. Thank God. There's no obstacle that you'll face that God cannot overcome. Isaiah put it this way, no weapon that's formed against you will prosper. Sometimes they get pretty close, don't they? Sometimes there are things that weigh us down. There are things that get us discouraged. There are things that get us defeated. There are things that cause us to get our eyes off of Jesus. But if we trust Him, if we rely on Him, there is no obstacle that He cannot overcome. And us through Him. Next. Number 8. There is no bill that God cannot pay when we honor Him with our finances. There is no bill that He cannot pay. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I know that preaches easy and lifts hard because I have been there. I have had more month at the end of the money. We have had to go to our knees as a family and say, God, we don't have any food in the refrigerator. We don't have any gas in the tank. We don't have any medicine in the cabinet. God, we need You. And God has always taken care of us. He's always supplied. Now that means there are times we've had to learn to like bologna and ramen noodles, which I love anyway. I know they're not good for me, but I love them. And sometimes that's all we've had. And then there are times we hadn't even had that. When I became the pastor of my first church, that first Sunday, or that first week, it was before Sunday, I think it was probably Monday or Tuesday when I actually moved into the church parsonage. Parsonage. Should I say the church sardine can that they gave us? I was pastoring for a couple months before I got married. And I went in there that first moving in, and the dining room table was full of canned goods and toilet paper and all of those things. And I said, thank You, Lord, because I don't have anything. I'm coming with nothing. Then I looked closer at the cans, and they were beets and cranberry sauce, which I know you probably like, and, you know, cans that were outdated and expired. But praise God, those people wanted to take care of their preacher. That was in 1998, so however long ago that was, 26 years ago. And a lot of those canned goods are probably still in the back of the cabinet there in that little parsonage. Because thank God we never got to the point where we had to open those up. But we got very close a few times. And we've gotten very close a few times since then. But God has already taken care of us when we've honored Him in our giving. I've shared stories of how we had bills that needed to get paid, but we learned of somebody else's need, and we took the money that was designated for those bills and we gave it to a need, and God always gave it back to us. When we gave, when we obeyed God with the tithe, with our giving, God has always taken care of us. He's never forsaken us. He does not know of a bill that He cannot pay if we honor Him with our giving. And I've just got two more. I'll give them to you very quickly. He does not know of a being that He did not create. He does not know of a being that He did not create. Genesis 2:1, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. God created heaven and earth in 6 days, and all that therein is. There is nobody who has ever walked the earth, with the exception of the Lord Jesus, who was not created by God. God created everything and everyone. Then number 10. And this kind of goes back to a few things that I said before. Number 10. God does not know of a believer that He cannot use. God does not know of a believer that He cannot use. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Now verses 8 and 9 of Ephesians 2 says we're saved by grace through faith. It's a gift of God. But then verse 10 says, because we are saved, we need to work for the Lord. Not to keep our salvation. Not to earn it or to keep it. But because we are saved. I do things for my spouse. You do things for your spouse. For your children. For your grandchildren. For your friends. Your family members. Your neighbors. Your co-workers. You do things for them. Because you love them. Not to earn their love, or not to buy their love, or not to keep their love. You do it because you love them. I work for the Lord because I love Him. And God continues to use me. 1 Corinthians 7 verse 17, "But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk." We just finished a series on the gifts that God gave to the church. God has gifted every one of us to do something. There's nobody that He will not use, that He cannot use. God can use a vessel of any size, any shape, any color. He can take a broken vessel and put it back together. But God will use any vessel that's committed to Him and that wants to be used. Paul said, "I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway." He said, "I've got to keep myself in the place where God can use me and not get too big for my spiritual britches. But to know that I am what I am by the grace of God." He also wrote, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. "By the grace of God, I am what I am." God can use any of us if we'll commit ourselves to Him. God uses some people in ways that are more public. Ways that are, you know, put us in the spotlight or in the limelight. Sometimes God uses us in ways that nobody knows about. And nobody ever will know about. Till we get to heaven, then we'll get those rewards that we'll cast back at the feet of Jesus. And we'll have people come to us and say, "You never knew this, but you did fill in the blank. And that led me to salvation." God can use any of us. So some things that God cannot do. Some things that God does not know. He doesn't know of a sinner that He doesn't say, that He doesn't love. He doesn't know of a sin that He doesn't hate. He doesn't know any way of salvation except the way of the cross. He doesn't know any better time to be saved than today. He doesn't know a church that is His that He will not bless. He doesn't know of a life that He cannot change and will not change. He doesn't know of an obstacle that He cannot overcome. Doesn't know of a bill that He cannot pay if we honor Him with our giving. He doesn't know of a being that He did not create. He doesn't know of a believer that He cannot use. who is committed to Him, committed to be used by Him. May God help us. Let's bow for prayer. Would you pray with me? Lord, we love You. We thank You for the day. Thank You, Lord, for allowing us to be here. And Lord, I pray that You would help us.